From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with D.K. Matthews, author of the cover article in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, The Word Crisis That Threatens to Undo Western Civilization. Well, let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Matthews in their conversation.
We can't communicate a lot of times as evangelicals in the mission field of America because we don't understand when other people say compassion, when other people say justice, when other people say marriage, when other people say things like inclusion. Wow, that's a big one. How about multiculturalism? When people use these terms, they're bringing in an alternate semantic universe, and we're just not only not on the same page, we're not even in the same universe when we're having these type of discussions. So my argument is, there are a lot of people proffering models for the future. You know, you've got Meador and you've got Waldman's strict separationism and you got James Smith reviving Christendom and Neo-Constantinianism, and they all have elements of truth. And Hauerwas saying, you know, we need to be virtuous and be a countercultural community, and they all have elements of truth. But we're looking for these new models, and I'm trying to make the argument, we brought together deists, not as radical as Europe, but we brought together deists. We brought together radical supernaturalists in the tradition of John Locke. We brought together a lot of Orthodox Christians. We brought together a lot of evangelicals, and we were able to talk to each other. Sometimes it was pretty heated, but we had a framework. Today, we've lost the framework. Today, our feet are firmly planted in midair, and you can look around you at today's news, and you can see the consequences.
Yeah, so let's camp on this for just a moment. So if someone says, are you for social justice, to you or to me, we'll both say, yes, I'm for social justice. But it really depends on what you mean by social justice, because social justice has been redefined from the application of biblical principles to society's laws and institutions to the application of critical theory, which seeks to understand society primarily through the lens of power and emancipation. So you have two meta-narratives, and they're very, very different. And so the reason I want you to camp out on this for just a moment is so that people will get some kind of a grasp of the dilemma that we're in. You can't say you're against social justice, but the way social justice is being proffered in the culture, we cannot accept, because it is an entirely different concept of social justice from that which is embedded in the Judeo-Christian tradition.
Absolutely. And I mentioned this in the article and in the book, but social justice has in some ways become a Trojan horse. And that's what you just referenced. You're bringing in the doors of the kingdom an alternate framework, an enemy that seeks to overthrow the kingship of Christ that rules over language and ultimately all things, the agent of creation, the one who spoke into existence words and meaning and communication, and the very imago Dei, the image of God that makes all of that possible. And so we don't want to bow out of having concerns about social justice, for sure. That's appealing to the conscience of all of us, even in a fallen world. But we do want to bring to bear on the conversation the biblical language, which is much more of a cosmic kingdom, universal, God-given, grounded understanding of justice. Let justice roll down like the waters in the prophetic literature in Amos. That's the framework within which we have to have this conversation. And, you know, I'm getting into very delicate issues here, Hank, because of what's going on. And, you know, some could interpret me improperly and so forth. But my heart breaks. I mean, my heart absolutely breaks when I watch something like the Floyd situation coming out of Minneapolis. I have a relative up there right now. Absolutely breaks my heart. And like any believer who loves the Lord and loves human beings and knows that Christ died for everyone, it brings a tear to your eye to see that type of thing taking place. But I think when you apply the biblical concept of justice in this particular moment, we all have to be reminded that we don't want to break up into warring groups. We all want to come together and try to move civilization and culture to the next level. I despise racism. I despise the abuse of power. But I think we have to realize that from a biblical perspective, we want to affirm that indeed God's justice applies to every situation. We had about, 1,700 abortions per day in this country in recent years. We had about 200 deaths per day in this country related to some type of abuse of alcohol. We've been having over 100 suicides per day, spiking apparently during the pandemic. Gun homicide, 41. Out of all of those four top, non-health type of deaths that we're having in our society, the only one that really gets outrage is gun homicides, and that one's ranked number four. When we get down to the issue of unarmed people being killed by police, you know what the statistic is per day? It's less than 1.0 per day. Should we be very concerned about this? Should we be concerned about racism? Should we be concerned about the abuse of power? Should we seek a more perfect union and better interaction between power and those who don't have power? Absolutely. But Hank, if I do understand the biblical kingdom, we have to have a sense of justice and a definition of justice that takes into account all of the variables in the dynamic and all of those created by God. That's critically important. Martin Luther King, I think, is a classic example of someone who, for example, he rejected the approach of the Black Panthers. He rejected the approach of Malcolm X. He rejected even the call from some of his colleagues who were weary with trying to change the world by emulating love and nonviolence. But he said he would rather be a leader than simply lead by consensus. He had reached a point, if you read his writings, he'd reached a point where he was feeling like he was in a minority among Black leaders who were trying to address these perplexing issues in the 1960s. And his response was he knew of a better kingdom. He had a better dream for where civilization should go. And I think as we rightly have these discussions today and we're rightly concerned about some of the things we see, we want to make sure that we're bowing before King Jesus and the coming kingdom and that framework for justice. I know I went on a long time. I apologize.
No problem. Fantastic. Look, when we're talking about social justice, in that context, I bring up critical theory, which seeks to understand society through the lens of power and emancipation. And that brings up another question. There are so many words, so many monikers, so many phrases that you have to be familiar with today, it seems. And many of these phrases I had to myself start to look at, quite frankly, in terms of their definition, because I didn't really know, okay, what is the definition of critical theory? What is the definition of critical race theory or critical legal theory or critical social theory? Or what does intersectionality mean or white privilege or white fragility or colorblind racism? Or, I mean, there are a whole host of these words now Amen. That are part of our lexicon, heteronormativity. What do all of these words mean? And what is my responsibility as a Christian to try to absorb the definitions to be able to navigate in this new world?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm trying to ride that fine line between a full immersion in deconstructionist philosophy and, keeping this on a shelf that most can sink their teeth into. I was a philosophy teacher for, 20 years. I think the way I would try to frame that is every one of those terms that you referenced or those approaches or those theories can be unpacked. At the level of the local church, we're talking about what does the average Christian do? What does the average pastor do? At the level of the local church, I don't think that a pastor should take one sermon, one Sunday, and try to unpack all these terms, or even one of these terms. I think it's a disaster. I think what a pastor should do is they should work into their sermons. I mean, start with the text. The Bible is our text, not society, not movies. The society and the cultural events and the movies are used to illustrate or to show applications of the text and begin to work through the larger concepts like justice, or like multiculturalism. There's a big part of me based on, I believe, scripture. I love multiculturalism. I was the first person to hire a full-time director of multicultural affairs. I gave a presentation on racial reconciliation by invitation at a conference, a theology conference up at Wheaton. And I love all of that. But unfortunately, sometimes terms like that, like multiculturalism or the many subcategories, the deconstruction of subcategories, they have redefined those terms in a way that is very alien to a scriptural influenced definition.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. D.K. Matthews. Semantic equivocation, verbal seduction, and manipulative word games are not new, writes D.K. Matthews. They have emerged within faith communities throughout history. The Apostle Paul, following in the semantic stead and steps of Christ, repeatedly challenged seductive redefinitions of key biblical terms. Another Jesus, a different gospel, angel of light, false apostles, deceitful workers, and unrighteous servants. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Dr. Matthews warns that the seductive banishment of biblical and Judeo-Christian influence from the entire American lexicon has far more profound and long-term implications and consequences for the health of the church, culture, law, and civilization than any single cultural trend. But there is a way forward. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. D.K. Matthews as they continue their conversation.
Unfortunately, sometimes terms like multiculturalism or the many subcategories, the deconstruction of subcategories, they have redefined those terms in a way that is very alien to a scriptural influence to definition. With multiculturalism in the scriptures, we celebrate Revelation 5, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We celebrate the Galatians passage that there is, you know, neither male nor female. And indeed, all of the racial distinctions and ethnic distinctions that we currently are aware of ultimately are something that is valuable, but our primary identity is going to be oneness in Christ. And so, Hank, my suggestion on that is start big. Start with the terms that the people in the congregations are hearing every day, and then work down. So maybe one day, if you're talking a little bit about Galatians and you're talking about ethnic diversity and some of the issues in society, then you take a little bit of a detour into deconstructionist approaches to all of these different subcategories that advocate for their tribalistic understanding. But unfortunately, a lot of times what they're trying to do with their various subcategories of race theory and terminology, they're trying to not only advocate for these individuals, but they're trying to supplant Judeo-Christian influence and bring many other things in the door. You know, what did the cat drag in? They're trying to drag in all kinds of things into the future culture.
With that in mind, talk about, for example, critical theory. What role does Marxism play in critical theory? Is that something the cat dragged in?
Absolutely. I think what you're finding, even with some of the groups today, I was reading some of the Antifa material, you know, on the web. And if you read that carefully, there is a significant influence of Marxism. So a pastor that's not aware of the basic tenets of Marx, and it's not that hard to grasp the basics. Read the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels. Read Das Kapital. Read some of the subsequent commentators on Marx all the way through the history of thought and philosophy, all the way up to Marcuse, or particularly Southern Hemisphere theology. I know a lot of these people in the Southern Hemisphere, and a lot of them, you would just completely identify them in their understanding of their love relationship with Jesus and being born again as being within the evangelical framework. But they have oftentimes brought various elements of Marxist analysis into their theology because they're so weary of their sense of oppression, which they believe is 90% caused by the current capitalistic liberal order, even the well-intentioned liberals, that they feel like they need a totally new model by which to interpret what is going on in power relations. And so for them, whether it is reading Bonino or whether it's reading even some of the work of Moltmann and Pannenberg, A Theology of Hope, where it has a lot of elements of liberation theology, they bring this into their system and into their language. And so for them, and I know some of these good folks, I've had communication with them, if you don't support heavily centralized governmental solutions to distributing justice and the undermining of most of what we call the free market system, you're not a loving Christian. You're not an evangelical Christian. In fact, you may not be a Christian at all.
So let's take this a step further. We've talked about social justice, and we are for social justice rightly defined as Christians,
Amen.
But you have to understand the grand metanarrative of the biblical worldview. There are a lot of other monikers that are in that same category. So I say Black Lives Matter, or if I held up a sign that said Black Lives Matter, that in and of itself is true. Black lives do matter. But the actual organizational structure behind the moniker is an organizational structure that wants to dismantle cisgender privilege, that wants to dismantle the patriarchal practice, that wants to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, that wants to free people from the tight grip of what they call heteronormative thinking, that wants to defund the police. And by the way, that's another one of those monikers that needs to be well-defined, because when you say defund a police, a lot of people have a very different idea of what you're talking about. Well, I don't mean taking all the money away from the police. I have a different idea in mind here. So when you look at an organization like Black Lives Matter, you have to be able to separate what the organization stands for and what the moniker itself stands for.
Absolutely. And the title of the book is Seduced. And I think it's important to remember that one of the key points here, there are a lot of people with good intentions that are caught up in these movements, and they don't drill down and they don't understand what you're saying, Hank. There are people who are very aware of what they're thinking. And I mentioned Antifa, and they really do lean in the direction of a Marxist or a socialist solution. Ultimately, anarchy is kind of like in communism, you know, the temporary dictatorship of the working class or the proletariat that always ends up becoming permanent. The anarchy with Antifa, according to many of their spokespersons, again, it's a rather diverse posture, so no one speaks for everyone. But the anarchy is really a temporary means to deconstruct, to tear down the current order so that something else will emerge later. And likewise, when you look into these types of organizations, there are individuals that are very, very conscious of the convergence between the transgender agenda and their agenda where they're allegedly fighting racism. A lot of the people that join into these movements, they're deceived. They don't understand what the larger agenda is. They haven't really drilled down and seen how these two are coming together, but they did just come together in a protest. Those two forces join hands in a protest where they tried to bring together the transgender agenda and the Black Lives Matter agenda. And so that's where pastors are so critical in leading their flocks to speak the language, to interpret the language, to be missionaries in America, to unpack the terms, to unpack the movements, to actually go to the websites of these organizations and read what they mean by their terms and by their agendas. Because if we don't, then we will be pulled along with the cultural drift.
Yeah, so a lot of people would say, I don't have the time or the wherewithal to get into this whole thing of the seduction of words. It's just beyond me. But you're saying that this is not a problem. It is the problem. It can pull the entirety of Western civilization down the drain. And so you're saying we have no choice. We have to get involved in this whole process of linguistic subversion. We have to know what's going on, and we have to, as Christians, bring the Christian worldview to bear on this semantic jungle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get it. I don't have the time. We're all busy, and we have a lot of things on our plate. First of all, we don't really have a choice. Second of all, there's level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you want, level 100 discourse. And what takes place in the seminary is going to be different than the undergraduate institution. What takes place in the undergraduate institution is going to be different than what takes place in the local church. What takes place in the local church is going to be different than what takes place in the family. And I really do see pastors as critical. They have to immerse themselves in what's taking place. They have to immerse themselves in the language games that are right before our eyes. And I argue in the book and in the article, this is not new. We're not starting something new where we look at the meaning of terms and the definition of terms and try to draw the conversation back to the personal word and the written word of God. Just imagine in the early church, if the early church said, well, we're not going to worry about the fact that we're being accused of cannibalism when we have the Lord's Supper. What if Augustine said, well, you know, we're not going to worry about the fact that, yeah, maybe Christians are causing the fall of the Roman Empire. And maybe we're the reason for all of this happening. Maybe we're actually the unpatriotic destroyers, you know, of the kingdom. I think we've done this before over and over and over again. This is not really new. It's just extremely intense in a contemporary context where there's intentional redefining of terms. The rejection of the meaning of meaning, you know, as Ravi Zacharias puts it, language goes to the morgue. Communication goes to the morgue. So we're not really doing anything new. The early church had to do it. Augustine had to do it. The monks had to do it in their time period. The reformers had to do it. John Wesley had to do it. Every theological term, every concept throughout history has been the target of the enemy to subvert it, to redefine it, and therefore weaken the church, and therefore destroy culture and destroy civilization. So it's not really an option. I mean, imagine the early church if the pastors and theologians said, yeah, we're not going to argue over the Yoda in homo ousios versus homo ousios. It does make a difference whether Christ is like or is one with the Father. And those are abstract Greek speculations, but they shape our daily worship. They shape our Trinitarian worship. They shape our piety. They shape how we pray. They shape how we understand who Jesus is. They shape our spiritual formation activities.
We'll have to stop there for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. D.K. Matthews. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping believers to exercise truth and experience life. Topics in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal include repentance and prayer in a time of massive urban unrest and COVID-19, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, winning the fight for religious freedom. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers of our day, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to the Christian Research Institute at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Let's face it. Life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.